Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
This is the last time we'll see you for a couple of weeks. You have another break coming because of the COVID virus crisis, and it has to be put down to the foolishness of men and women who just will not take heed to the dangers and feel that they must just indulge themselves in the pleasures of this life and come into close contact with one another as they pursue those pleasures, and so endanger themselves, which is bad enough, but they endanger us here as well. Because if they become infected, then they only have to walk past us virtually, breathe on us, and we too have become infected. So school has to close for a while, but you'll hear more about it, I'm sure. Now we're turning to Hebrews 11. And I want to turn to the verse that we have already looked at last week. That is verse number 30. Because there's one more thing I want to say about this verse, and it's an important thing. An important thing. Let's read the verse then. By faith. Remember, throughout this chapter, it's faith that is at work. It's faith that's doing these things, accomplishing these great victories and triumphs. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, as I said, I want to look at one more matter in that verse. And I believe this is a very important matter, which perhaps, if it wasn't pointed out to you, you might miss. Now, I know that you could miss it, because I can well remember when it was pointed out to me. And I had not thought about this particular point up until that moment. And it made the victory in Jericho all the more wonderful when I learned this particular truth. When it says that the walls fell down, I can imagine you thinking of perhaps a time when you have seen a piece of a wall fall down, or you have seen a tree fall down, or you've fallen down yourself and just, as we would say, clattered down on your face on the ground. But that's not what happened to walls and Jericho. It doesn't mean that the walls fell outward into great heaps right round the city. But rather, what is said here is that the walls sunk down into the ground until the top of the wall was level with the ground. Now, you'll agree with me, that is a much more wonderful event, a much more wonderful miracle. It would have been a miracle for God to have caused the walls to fall outward, collapse flat. An earthquake would accomplish that, and does accomplish that indeed throughout the world on many occasions, and we have all seen the pictures, I'm sure, of the ruin that comes to a village or a city that is struck by an earthquake. And if you haven't seen pictures, well, make some inquiries, for I'm sure there's a book in the library that would show you something of that. But how much more wonderful is the power of God at work when the walls, instead of collapsing out, sink straight down into the ground until the top of the wall is level with the ground. Now that to me is a much more wonderful miracle. And I think too that it would have been a most startling thing for the people inside the city. There they were, hiding behind these great walls, confident that they were safe from all these Israelites that were outside. And probably standing on the walls, laughing at them. Laughing at them as they walked round the city. And then finally walked round the city 7 times and blew the ram's horn trumpets. They would have been up there jeering and laughing. And then suddenly the wall started to sink down beneath their feet. And it was as if they were in a lift. And within a short time they found themselves at the ground level. And there were no walls between them and the Israelites. No defences. God had removed all the defences of the people of Jericho. For God had caused the earth not to tremble and shake and toss the wall, but God had caused the earth to open up and swallow the walls. If you older ones would look at Numbers and the chapter 16 of Numbers, you will see there an incident in which God did something very similar. The verse 29 of Numbers 16, Moses has been challenged by a bunch of Israelites who defied him and were intent on taking over from him. And this is what he said to all the others concerning the individuals who were rebels. Verse 29, number 16, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord by their rebellion. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder. That means it split open, the ground that was under these rebels. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained or belonged unto them, unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. That's what God can do, boys and girls. That's what God can do. And something similar happened at Jericho. God caused the earth to open and swallow the walls so that they came down level with the ground, and so the city inhabitants were rendered without defense. God can do that. We must ever remember that. When we're faced by enemies that seem to be so strong, that seem to be just beyond our capabilities of overcoming them or resisting them, just remember what God did at Jericho. In a moment, their whole defense was taken away. Their whole defense was taken away. Now let me give you proof of why it is that I believe the wall sunk down into the ground rather than fell outward. The first reason I would suggest to you is that when they sunk down into the ground, it made it easy for the Israelite soldiers to attack the city, to go forward into the city. If you look at Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 20, Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 20 says this, so the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Well, the word flat means the wall fell down under it. Under the shout, it fell down. So that the people went up into the city, and this is important, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now I ask you, could the soldiers have done that if the walls had collapsed outward? Could they have just walked straight in if that had happened? You might not realize just immediately what the scene would be like if the walls had collapsed outward. In Deuteronomy, the chapter 1, we're told that the walls were mighty. The walls were mighty. And earlier, 40 years earlier than when Joshua was now leading the people into the promised land, 40 years earlier, Moses had sent out spies because they had arrived 40 years earlier at the very edge of the promised land. And Moses sent out 12 spies to have a look at the countryside and see what it was like. Now you remember the spies were evil men, unbelieving men. They come back with a sad story. We just couldn't get into this place. It's so strong. The people are giants. And the cities are walled up to heaven. So that when you stood outside one of these Canaanite cities and looked up, it seemed as if the walls went all the way up to heaven. They were that high. That gives us a picture of what the walls of Jericho must have been like. So if they had fallen out, you couldn't have got into the city any more than when the walls were standing up straight. Because there would have been heaps and heaps and heaps of rubble, broken up masonry and stones, so that there was still a barrier between the Israelite soldiers and the people inside the walls. Let me tell you a story from World War II. In 1944, The Allied forces, British, American, Canadian, French, and many African countries and Indians, and all together, they were invading Europe. And this was before D-Day, and they had started the invasion in Italy. And they were working their way up, fierce fighting. Germans resisted very strongly. And they were fighting their way up Italy. And they came to a place called Monte Cassino. And the Germans had taken possession of a monastery up on a high mountain, which made it very difficult for the forces who were attacking to get to them, because they could shoot down at them. And there were quite a number of attacks made by the Allies, which had resulted in the death of hundreds and thousands of Allied soldiers, and the wounding of just as many, and perhaps many, many more than that. And they had tried again and again and again, and the Germans had been successful at resisting. So they pulled all the Allied troops back, and they sent in the Air Force. Hundreds of bombers, and they dropped thousands of tons of bombs on this monastery, and blew it to pieces. Blew it to pieces. But instead of opening the way for the troops, the Allied troops, to advance and conquer the top of the mountain, it made it all the more difficult. Because, as a result of the bombing, the monastery had been wrecked. But as a result, there were all the more hidey holes for the German soldiers to shoot down at the advancing troops. All the rubble that had been formed by the bombing provided the Germans with all sorts of sniper positions and hidey holes from which they could shoot and couldn't be shot at. So in actual fact, the bombing didn't help, but made it worse. And I'm saying that if the walls of Jericho had fallen out, they would have formed heaps and heaps of rubble. It would have created a bigger barrier than that which the walls themselves present. And that's why I believe God didn't just push the walls down and create mountains of rubble, but he made the walls sink down into the ground. God didn't make the mistake that the Allied air forces made when they bombed Monte Cassino and provided the German defenders of that position with even more defensive positions. No, God didn't make that mistake. He removed the walls in such a way as to make the way into the city just straight and smooth, without any obstacles. So that's why I believe the walls sunk down into the ground. God doesn't make mistakes, boys and girls. God doesn't make a situation worse by attempting to make it better. No, 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 no. God doesn't do that. Then I have another reason for believing that the walls sunk down into the ground rather than collapsing outward. In the story of the conquest of Jericho, there's a lady. Her name was Rahab. Quite a remarkable lady. In actual fact, we'd be looking at her in the next verse. Now, it would appear Rahab was a sinful woman at first. She had the name of a sinful woman, but she believed. You see, when Israel began to invade the Promised Land, naturally the people, the Canaanite tribes, the people who were in the land, they began to talk about this. And do you know that even though Israel coming out of Egypt happened over 40 years before, the people in the land had heard the reports of how God had opened the Red Sea, and that made them very frightened. For the Israelite people were obviously ones who were led by a wonderful God. And Rahab, when spies sent out by Joshua came to the city to see what it was like, Rahab helped them. She helped them. And she said, I'm helping you because I believe the reports about God. I believe that he is the Lord of all the earth. He is the true God. And I believe in him now. And furthermore, she says, I know that God has given this land to you Israelites. And he's going to judge us, the Canaanites, because of our sins. I know that, and I believe that. I believe the judgment coming. But I, in faith, ask you, when you attack the city, and you will defeat the city, I know that. I want you to remember what I have done. I have helped you. And I want you to spare me and my family from death. So here was a woman, you see, who heard the reports of God's greatness and God's wonders, heard what God's purpose was for his people Israel, and she said, I believe, and I want God to have mercy upon me. She was just like you. If you're saved today, you've heard what the Bible has to say about the coming judgment of God upon this world. You have heard about God's purpose and plan for his people. And when you got converted, you said, I want to be one of God's people. I want to escape the judgment. Lord, have mercy on me and save me. Just like Rahab. Just like Rahab. But there's something very interesting about Rahab, in that if you go back to Joshua again, the chapter 2, where we meet her, Joshua chapter 2, the spies have come to Jericho, and they're intent on having a good look at the city so that they can report back to tell how things are. And then chapter 2, you meet Rahab, and you meet how she believes. In verse 9, for instance, it says, she said unto the men, I know. That's interesting. I know that the Lord hath given you the land. This is a woman brought up as a heathen, lived as a wicked woman, but God in his mercy has opened her mind. Just like Lydia in Acts chapter 16. God has opened her heart so that she believed the message of truth. She says, I know the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Read that, you older ones. Read that chapter 2 of Joshua. And this portion here, beginning at the verse 8 and 9, where you have the testimony of Rahab. But then if you move down to verse 15, the men are escaping, and it says, verse 15, then she let them down by a cord, by a rope, through the window of her house, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So, this woman had a wonderful view. It would have made her house a most wonderful piece of property. For her house was built right on the top of the wall. Right on the top. So she had a view of the land that those living in the city didn't have. They only saw the insides of the walls. But she had a house right on the top of the wall. And she could see the whole land. Lovely position. But the spies said to her, all right, you've been kind to us and we'll remember you. And when we attack, you stay in your house and don't come out. And put a cord, a red cord, out the window to mark your house. Now you think about it. Here she is, living on the top of the wall, in a house, which if the walls had fallen out, she and all her family would have been killed in the collapse, wouldn't she? She couldn't have survived. For the Lord to remove the walls, he didn't make them collapse. He made them sink right down until her house was down at ground level, and she could walk out of her house in safety. Oh, how wonderfully God works, boys and girls. He does things that no man could even begin to imagine. There's not one in Jericho, and I don't believe there was one among the Israelites, who imagined what it was God was going to do that day. What wondering there must have been, what marvelling there must have been among the Israelites as they saw these great walls sinking down into the ground. No rubble, no breakage, just sinking down into the ground. And the way was open for them to invade the city, and for Rahab and her family to be saved and not destroyed. That's why I believe, as I say, the walls didn't collapse, but God made them to sink into the ground. Boys and girls, God does that all the time. He makes all the difficulties and all the problems that face us just to sink out of sight. You believe him, you trust him, and all will be well. May the Lord bless his word to your heart today. Let's bow in prayer. We commit this day to thee, Lord, this day of trouble in the land, throughout the world indeed. And we do pray for those who suffer from this COVID virus. We pray for those foolish people who live in rebellion, Lord, and who take no heed to the warnings. God, have mercy on those who take no heed to the warnings of the gospel. Speak to every boy and girl. Bless the school today, I ask of thee, and be with us, one and all, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.